So we saw yesterday quite a complicated piece of Gemara, very geshmaka piece of Gemara. Let's review it quickly because we want to finish it today. We don't want to be left hanging till next week on this sugya. The Torah, you'll remember, first said a very general pasuk. It says, "Vehumas v'talisa." Anybody who's killed is hanged. It would sound to be a klal. Next pasuk, however, it spoke quite clearly about kilalas Elohim. Kilas Elokim, those who curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So which one is it? Is it a general rule? Or is it somebody who is Makalel Elokim? So we had a machlokes, and we said there are two ways of decoding that pasuk. Either with the process called Klal Uprat. Klal Uprat means you first have a general rule, but if it's followed by the Prat, then the Prat is Mefaresh the Klal. The Prat tells me that indeed, actually, it only applies in one case, which would therefore arrive us at the conclusion that the only one who is actually hanged is the one who's Makalel Elohim. The other way of looking at this is that no, it's a ribui and a miut. A ribui and a miut is not the same as a klal uprat. Rather, the miut downgrades, it waters down, that's true, it waters down the ribui, but it doesn't come to cancel the klal. So the klal is still true, which means it's pretty much across the board, as long as it's similar to the miut. So klal uprat means it's only the case of the miut and ribui of the prat, and ribui omir means anything that's similar to the miut. So in our case, it would be anything that's similar to the case of kilalas Elohim. So now look back into the Gemara. On the third bottom line, the Maikom Miflagi, what is this machloikas between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim all about? Because we saw in the Mishnah that Rebbe Elazar made it a general rule, anybody who is stoned is also hanged. He never said anybody who is killed is also hanged. He said anybody who is stoned is also hanged, number one. The Chachamim, however, disagreed. And they said, no, it only applies to somebody either who is a Megadeth or Oved Avodah Zarah. So what is the machloikas? So the Gemara says on the third bottom line, B'maiko miflagi Rabbonon darshi klali uprati, but Rebbe Elazar darish ribui umiut. So the machloikas is exactly the discussion that we're just having now. And that is, are we going to look at this pasuk as a klal uprat, or are we going to look at it as a ribui and miut? That, in fact, is the machloekas. So the Gemara now explains on the second last line, Rabbonon darshi klali uprati. They are looking at these psukim as a klal uprat, as a klal uprat. Vahumas v'talisa klal. So when we have those words, vahumas v'talisa, whoever will be killed will be hanged, well, clearly that's a klal. Afterwards, what does it say? Ki kilalas prat. So that seems to be showing that no, it doesn't apply across the board, it only applies in the case of the klal. Now, says the Gemara, I have a mekarvi. If indeed they would have been korov, they would have been an immediate approximate, immediate juxtapositioning. Remember, they're not. It's two successive psukim. Welcome back. Anything okay in Mishkafim there?
Ever since yesterday, my internet connection has just been terrible.
Okay. So, like we're saying, this is a klal uprat. Now, if they would have been written in immediate juxtapositioning, they're not. It says in pasuk number one, vehumas v'toliso, and in the following pasuk, not the following words, but the following pasuk, there's a bit of a gap, and then you get to the second pasuk, and then the prat. What is the prat? Ki kilalas Elohim. So it's not an immediate juxtapositioning. Says the Gemara on the bottom line. If indeed it would have been absolutely Karoiv Lahadodi, what does that mean, Karoiv Lahadodi? Meaning it would have been in juxtapositioning one after another. Then Omrinon, you know what we would have said? We apply the rule of Klal Uprat. Ein Bichlal Elo Masha Biprat. There is nothing left in the Klal besides for the Prat. Hani En and Midi Achrini Loi. This yes, and everything else, no. So, had it written Vahumos V'Toliso, and then it would have said immediately followed up by the Prat, I would have said the Prat is the only halacha that remains standing. And that the only single solitary case in which you actually hang him, it's only in the case of Kilel HaSarikim. That would have been the regular application of the rule of Klal Uprat, providing that the Klal Uprat are written immediately one after another. In our case, they're not. Says the Gemara top line, Hashta de merchaku meha hadodi. So now that we notice that actually they are not korov, they're a little bit rochoik, so we have to slightly adjust and expand the klal uprat rule. Ahani, this will help us lerebuye avoidas koichovim. It'll help us be marben oivet avoidazora the domile bekol mili, which is absolutely similar in every which way. It's extremely, extremely similar. It's not just similar, it's similar b'chol mili. So let's press pause, because as I mentioned, it's a complicated Gemara. Yes, Rav Nachum.
What is defined as rachok? Because when we learned it, we were like, it's the next pasuk.
That's
like
the problem.
Next to each
the
other.
Next pasuk, it's not in the same pasuk. That's precisely the problem.
Okay, so that's the
right.
Line.
So had it been literally one word after another, or in the same pasuk, that would have been considered korov. So again, had it been korov, then we would have applied the regular application of klal uprat. What is the regular application of klal uprat? What's left at the end of the day? Only the prat
stated
one case and nothing else whatsoever. So had Kilel HaSelokim been written in the same Pasuk, which it's not, but had it been written in the same Pasuk, what would we have said? But the only solitary case where you actually hang the person is in the case of Kilel HaSelokim. But by virtue of the fact that actually it's written in the next Pasuk, that forces us to slightly loosen up the application of Klal Uprat, such that it refers not only to the Prat, but also to anything which is extremely similar to the Prat. Not just similar, extremely similar. Loshna Gemara, de domile bekol mili. What is the most similar case to Kilel HaSelokim, the Megadev? The answer is Oved Avodah Zarah. And that is how the Rabbonon got to their conclusion that when does the halacha of skila apply? It applies not only to Megadev, but also to Oved Avodah Zarah. How did they get to that conclusion? Essentially, they darshan klal uprat, but because in our pasuk it's not written in immediate proximity, but rather it's the next pasuk, so they have to expand it slightly, which means it applies not only to the Megadev, but also to something which is similar to it, b'chol mili, b'chol mili. Look at the very top Rashi. Ahani, this helps us add one more case, l'rabuye akum, akum is of course Avodah Zarah, hach harchoka. This distancing, shehirchikom zeh mizeh, that the Torah slightly distanced them from another because they're not in the same pasuk, rather they're in two different psukim. Lameimra, is there to tell us? So, ein donin oisoi beklalu prat, that you don't actually consider it absolutely the regular klalu prat, because if you would, what will be left? Nothing besides the prat. So the Torah is clearly indicating to us that you can add something. What is that something? And the answer is l'rabuye akum. It comes to add to be marba. Why? Hoil, because, since the damya leprota, because it's similar to the prat. Here come the key words, bekol mili. Kol mili means in every which way. Why? She koifer beika, because you've been koifer bakadosh baruch hu, kamoisoi, just like the Megadif. So the Megadif, when you mekalel Hashem, that's considered to be koifer beika. Ovid Avodah Zarah is essentially one of the same thing, and therefore we have no choice but to slightly expand our klalu prat. It now, in the final analysis, applies not only to Megadif but also to Ovid Avodah Zarah. So that's how the Chachamim got to their opinion. Says the Gemara. Now we move on. We finish the sugya. What about Rebbe Eliezer? Remember, Rebbe Eliezer had a much more expansive version. His version was that who gets hanged? Anybody who is stoned. Why? That's not considered domi bekol mili. What would be an example of somebody who's stoned, by the way? A mechalel Shabbos. A mechalel Shabbos is not similar to a Megadif. It's true, there's a common denominator, yes, because they're both chayvei skila. But you cannot say it's domi b'kol mili. So how on earth did Rebbe Eliezer get to that far more expansive conclusion that the halacha of hanging applies to anybody who is stoned? So the Gemara explains, second line. Rebbe Eliezer dorish ribui umiuta. What's ribui umiut? Remember we said, what's the difference between a klalu prat and a ribui and a miut? A klalu prat means you're left with just the prat. A ribui and a miut means not just the miut, but anything which is similar to it. You're on mute.
But if that's the definition, that's the Chachamim's maskana, that they're
Yes.
saying that it's anything similar. So why didn't they just start with Ribui and Miut?
No, because like we said, this is a case where they're not written in close proximity, so you have to expand it a little bit more than the normal.
So it's not a steadfast rule, klal u'prat.
It is. It's a klalu
What?
prat, like we said, when they're written in close proximity. If they're not written in close proximity, you have to expand it a bit. Exactly the same for ribui and miut. Ribui and miut means the general rule is, when they're written in close proximity, that it applies not only to the prat, but also to that which is absolutely very similar. But once again, because in our case they're not written in close proximity, so once again you water that down and it no longer has to be very similar. It's enough that it's slightly similar, which means anything that's chiyuv skila. Says the Gemara of Rebbe Eliezer, Dorish Ribui Umiute. So therefore, you read the pasuk as follows: Vehumas Vitalisa Ribui. That seems to include everything. Ki Kilalas is a muta. Now, I have a Mekarvila Hadodi. They look at it the same as the Rabbana now. If they would have been written in close proximity. So then it wouldn't apply just to the prat, but anything very similar. So what would that have included? Loi have a marbinon and avoidas kechavim. So then I would have added avoidas kechavim de domi lo bekol mili. That is the normal application of klalu prat, that you have to be marbe that which is very, very similar. But hashta de merchaki mehadodin. But now that they are slightly distanced from each other, so once again, you have to expand it a little bit. So ahani, that helps us lerebuye shar haniskalim. It helps us to be marbe all other cases of skill. So in the final analysis, even though it sounds complicated, it's actually not so complicated. Reb Elezer and Rabbanon both agree on quite a lot. They both agree that this is a slightly exceptional case in that we're talking about two separate psukim and they're not written in close proximity. And therefore, whichever rule you normally apply, here you're going to have to loosen up and expand it a little bit. Everybody agrees on that. The only discussion is, what's your starting place? Am I starting with Klal Uprat or am I starting with Ribuy Umiut? The Rabbanon begin with Klal Uprat. That's their baseline. So what does that baseline give me? That gives me just the Prat. Nothing else but the Prat. Now I've got to loosen up a little bit. So I downgrade it one stage. What's downgraded one stage? It's not only the Prat, it also that which is identically similar. What is that? Avodah Zarah. Reb Elezer says, no, our baseline is not Klal Uprat. Our baseline is actually Ribuy and Miut. So what's our baseline? Megadev and anything which is identically similar, which is Avodah Zarah. Now that they're written, not in immediate proximity, once again, I've got to loosen up. And I've got to expand a little bit more. So it applies not only to that which is identically similar, but also to that which is quite similar. What does that mean, quite similar? In that, they are chayav skila. And that now becomes the explanation of our Mishnah. So now we understand in the final analysis, according to the Chachamim, who is stoned, the Megadeth plus that which is identically similar, i.e., the Ovid Avodah Zarah, according to Reb Elezer, no. According to Reb Elezer, who is stoned? Not only the Megadeth, but anything which is slightly similar, i.e., it has common denominator, it's a chayev skila. So therefore, according to Reb Elezer, a mechalel Shabbos will be hanged. Why will a mechalel Shabbos be hanged? Because a mechalel Shabbos is chayev skila, and that is, although not identically similar, but it's similar enough, it's got enough common ground between that and Megadeth, i.e., that they're both chayev skila, and therefore, even though they're two different types of averas completely, one is Avodah Zarah, one is Chilul Shabbos, but because they are similar in as much that they're both chayev skila, therefore the rule of the talis of hanging them applies to both. Okay, and that's it. Okay, there is an extremely lengthy Rashi over here, but I think that'll end up confusing us more than clarifying things for us, so we're going to keep on going in the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, Ha'ish Toilin. So you remember we had a machloikis, according to another machloikis, between the Reb Elezer and the Chachamim. This is now the second machloikis. Reb Elezer said both men and women are both hanged. The only difference is in which direction, a woman towards the tree and a man towards the people. However, the Chachamim disagreed, and the Chachamim said, actually, women are not hanged at all. So where is that learned from? Says the Gemara, Ha'ish toilin, my time with the Rabbanon. What is the reasoning behind the Rabbanon? Why do they say that women are not hanged at all? Omakra, because they learn from the Pasuk, and it says, V'toliso oisoi, quote unquote. Oisoi means him. So we make a drasha, oisoi, v'loi, oisa. Simple as that. You hang him, you don't hang her. But v'rebeleze, so how does he learn the Pasuk now? Surely the onus of proof now becomes on Reb Elezer. If Reb Elezer says that you do hang a woman as well, so how's he going to learn the pasuk of Oisai? So the Gemara says, Verbaleze oisoi beloi ksusoi. The word oisoi is there for a completely different reason. It's not there to teach me men and not women, but rather the halacha we mentioned on a previous daf, you stone him means just the body with no clothes on it. But we're not differentiating between men and women at all. So I have no pasuk as far as Rebbe Elazar is concerned to be memayit noshim. Everybody is stoned. The only difference in the oisai it's coming to tell you, oisai, you stone the person, but not the clothes. Okay, so now we send it back. What about Rabbonon? So what, how do the Rabbonon know this halacha of you stone the person without the clothes? V'Rabbonon ein hachanami. It's true. But Ella Omar Kra, I've got another pasuk. V'chiyeh be'ish chet. Ish v'loy isha. So the Rabbanon says, you're right. On second thoughts, that pasuk of oisai is not coming to tell me oisai v'loy isha, but rather oisai, his guf or her guf, but without the clothes. So where do I learn the rule of men and not women from? Because the pasuk says, kiyeh be'ish chet. Ish means a man and not a woman. Rebbe Eleze, hi, v'chiyeh be'ish. My Dorish Bain. So how does Rebbe Elazar learn that pasuk? We do seem to have a very clear pasuk that says that the stoning rule only applies to an ish and not to an isha. Says the Gemara on the first last narrow line, Omer Rish Lakish, Ahu lemiute ben Seira. What does it mean, Lemiute Soira Moira? Says Rashi. Lemiute ben Soira Umoira, Da'af al Gav de Beskila. Even though it's true, ben Soira Moira also is punished by Skila, but Osakra Lemiute. The Pasuk comes to be Mamayit, the Ksiv Ish, Uben Soira Umoira, Loi have a Ish. That means even though the ben Soira Moira gets Skila. And don't forget, Rebbe Elazar is of the opinion that whoever gets skila also gets hanged. There is one exception. Do you know who does not get hanged? This young child, who albeit gets killed by skila, but does not get hanged. Because he's not an ish. Because if he would be an ish, the ben has got to be a young child. So we've got a pasuk that says that the rule of hanging only applies to an ish. Chachomim understand that to mean an ish and not an isha. However, Rebbe Elazar understands that completely different, an ish and not a child. Which child? Which child could possibly be stoned? The answer is a ben seir omer. We have one case in the Torah where a child is stoned. That's the ben seir omer. I would have thought, therefore, surely the halacha should be he should be hanged because Rebbe Elazar says that anybody who is stoned is hanged. The answer is I have a pasuk, an ish. An ish is hanged, but not a child. Asks the Gemara on the first wide line, Vartani, but surely we have a braisa that says, Ben Soira Umaira Niskal Vernitle. Divrei Rebbe Elazar? Absolutely clearly, it says black and white, the Rebbe Elazar holds that this Ben Soira Umaira is indeed stoned and also hanged. So how can you possibly tell me the Rebbe Elazar darshens ish v'loy ben seira omeira? It's not true. Black or white in the braisa that a ben seira omeira is also hanged. And Omer Rabbi Nachman Vayitzchok, you're right. It's to the contrary, l'rabois ben seira omeira. That word ish is coming to actually include ben seira omeira. My time. D'omar kra, it says v'chiyeh be'ish chet. So I would have darshened Ish v'loy ben. That's the first miut, and then chet means misha al chetoy nerag. It only applies to the one who is stoned or killed for having been over avera yotza ben seira omeira shal shem soifoy nerag. Remember, the ben seira omeira has not actually been over an avera. It's just that we're predicting the future. So we seem to have two reasons not to hang the ben seira omeira. Got two miyutim. Number one, it says ish v'loy ben. Number two, it's only somebody who is been over an Aveira, but not the Ben Seir Omeira. But here we have a rule, have a miut achar miut. So I have two successive miutim. A miut called Ish v'loy Ben, a miut called Chet v'loy Ben Seir Omeira. The ein miut achar miut elo l'rabois. The rule is, paradoxically, that when I have a miut followed by another miut, that actually comes to be marbe. So in the final analysis, even though I seem to have two psukim which indicate that a Ben Seira or Moira is not hanged, but actually he is, because I have one miut saying ish v'loy ben, I have another miut saying chet, only somebody who's killed for an aveira, not just because what will happen in the future. Those two miutim, it's like the rule we used to learn in English, a double negative is positive. So a double miut is a ribui, and therefore in the final analysis, to the contrary, a ben seira or moira, according to Rebbeleze, is in fact hanged. Okay, we have to leave it over here. Mitzvah Hashem will carry on next time. I wish everybody a lichtiger, freilicher Chanukah, Mitzvah Hashem.